to turn it on for it to work. That's so weird. Okay. So as you see, Matthew 22, verse 37, 38, and 39, these are the two great New Testament commandments, which cover all the 10 commandments out of the Old Testament. That's what Jesus said. And when one of the lawyers, after Jesus was talking to the crowd, ministering, one of the lawyers in the crowd asked him a question like, what's the most important commandment? And so then Jesus asked another question and got a response, and then he followed that up with this, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That defines who we are. Everywhere we go, everything we do, how we live is wrapped up in these two. And nowadays, this has really been almost like run through a shredder and then taped back together with chunks left out of it and taped together wrong. Because this used to be known as the golden rule, to love your neighbor as yourself after you love God. Now the golden rule is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, the golden rule is to love God first. You got to love God with all you have. If you don't do that first, you can't do the second one well at all. It'll be up to bad days, bad moods, bad responses, and all that stuff, and it just really limits us. But we love God with all that we have. Then out of that relationship and that fullness, now we can love people in a broken world that sometimes are very unlovable, and we can still love them with God's love. Amen? So I don't go by the golden rule. I go by the two great commandments that Jesus gave us. He said if you do these two, you're all set with the 10 in the Old Testament. Because when you love God and you love others, you're not worried about having something to do with their wife or trying to steal their stuff. You won't be lying to them. All this other stuff that the Old Testament tried to cover is wrapped up in these two when we have our hearts right in God. Amen? So keeping that in mind, that's kind of what's driving us. I thought it would be a good time to talk about who we are and why we do what we do. Because we've got new people coming in that, all of us have reference points in our minds that we carry with us. Like, this is what I'm used to, this is what I've seen, this is how I was raised, this is what I was taught, this is what I've seen on TV. And so you come into a new place and there's, without even noticing it, you can have expectations. And so I thought, well, this would be a good time just to remind all of us what life used to be like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And just to let the newer people go, okay, this is what we're about here. So I just want to talk about, for us, everything we do, there is a filter we can run it through. And if you can remember E and S, you can probably remember our filter. Number one, everything we're going to do is going to exalt the Savior. And after we're done exalting the Savior, or at the same time, we're going to try to encourage the saints. Try to encourage the sinners too, that's okay. So we're going to exalt the Savior, we're going to encourage the saints, and then we're going to evangelize the sinners. And yes, I did say sinners, because until you're turned into a saint, you are a sinner. I absolutely was a sinner. I can even say something similar to what Paul said. I was the chief of sinners. I still think I was one of the worst people I ever met, and I'm not trying to be facetious or funny. It's just I've heard a lot of testimonies, I've talked to a lot of people, and I know how I was before the love of God changed me. I'm still a work in progress. I don't define myself as being perfect, but I am redeemed and I am a saint. Amen? Because sometimes it's kind of like the golden rule. If we don't have the full picture and we keep it accurate, we lose a big chunk. And so sometimes we can go, well, I'm still just a sinner that's in progress. No, you're not if you're saved through Jesus Christ. He already perfected you spiritually wise. In maturity, yeah, maybe maturity, you're not quite there yet. I know I'm working on my maturity. But spiritually, I'm perfect, 100%. If I drop dead today, I'm going straight to heaven. I don't have to go to purgatory. You guys don't have to give money and light candles and all that stuff. Spiritually, I'm not a work in progress. Spiritually, I'm already perfect because of Jesus Christ and what he did for me. Amen? So if we keep focused on that, I'm not a work in progress spiritually. I've already been perfected. And my relationship with God, this God that I'm doing all my best for, and I just want everything from him, and then I'm going to take that love and give it out, that I want to stay focused that I have open heavens. Because I've been perfected in Jesus Christ, I can pray with confidence. that he's going to keep changing me. He's going to give me more anointing. He's going to open doors for me. And I can pray with confidence for you guys because I have open heavens with God. I'm going to him through Jesus, not through my track record when I was 18 or 19 or 29. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're exalting the Savior, we're encouraging saints, and we're evangelizing the sinners. Everything we do will express one or more of those. As we pray about what we're going to do in the neighborhood, as we pray about what we're going to do in the future, we're always thinking about these three things. Does it exalt Jesus Christ? Does it encourage the saints? Does it evangelize the sinners? So that would be our mission statement, our business statement. I prefer just to say this is our filter that we use as a church family and what we're going to do together in the future. Now, there's all these vision statements and church statements. I prefer a term that we all understand. Our logo is in the neighborhood for the neighborhood. So while we're exalting and encouraging and evangelizing all that, are we impacting Newhall? If this place burned down and we had to go and use insurance money and rebuild a church 6 miles away from here, would Newhall even notice we're gone? We need to always be asking ourselves, if this place folded, would it matter to anyone in our neighborhood? Why did God bring us here? I believe God brought us into this building supernaturally. That's a whole other story. I don't have time today. But he brought us here for his purposes so we can affect this neighborhood. Before I breathe my last, I want to affect people here. I want to bring people to the Lord. I want to help them know him and grow him and walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. That's what God's called us here to do. So we're in the neighborhood for the neighborhood. So having said all of that, I want to kind of touch on three things. Number one, first off, we're born again Christians. Like, well, what do you guys believe? What do you guys do here? What's your church believe? And what do you... I'm going to try to keep this so simple so that we understand. If you want all the scriptures and all the theology behind all this stuff, our website has all of it. But I'm going to talk about, number one, we're born again Christians. That's what really drives us. Number two, we're a New Testament church based on what we see as New Testament churches in the New Testament. Number three, we're a church family in a family of church families. Because most denominations are set up just like this, like national governments are or businesses are. So you got the guy up here, Grand Poobah, who's like the chief financial officer or chief operating officer. And then you have a couple or more vice presidents. And then maybe you got the chairman. And then after that, you got a bunch of managers. And then after that, assistant managers. And then finally you get down here and that's where all of us hang out. Right? That is not how this church is. Tip that whole thing over. Think of a family sitting around a table, and you'll have this church's theology. So when you sit around a dinner table, think back when you were a kid sitting around a dinner table at home. The whole family was equal, all in the same setting. We had different roles, but we were all equal valued family members. That's how this church is. I have a different role from you, but I ain't no more important than you guys. Amen. Yeah, that's where y'all can say amen. So if we can keep that in mind, the power structure, we're going to tip that thing right over. We're all a family with different roles on even setting. Then we can work together and we can work with each other by our giftings, by our roles, by our personalities, and see how we come together fitting in. Not having to submit to this and he's the only one that can do that and these two are the only ones allowed. Take that thing back down. We're all in God, loving him with the best that we have because we want to exalt the Savior. We want to encourage the saints. We want to evangelize the sinners because this neighborhood matters to us. We're in it for a reason. So first off, we're born again Christians. First and foremost, there's no changing that, decorating it. I'm not going to delete anything. Jesus said, for a person to enter the kingdom of God, for a person to even see the kingdom of God, he must be born again. There is only one name under heaven, on earth, where a man must be saved by, and that is the name Christ Jesus. Amen? We're not deleting from that. We're not adding to that. We're not going to take away from that. We're not going to shy away from that. We're not going to be embarrassed This is the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ that changed our lives. We're going to say it long, we're going to say it loud. I am born again because of what Christ Jesus did for me. That old guy, that old Mike that did all that horrible junk, he got buried in baptism. We buried that dude. We don't see him around here again. The new guy was raised in baptism to new life, to walk in the fellowship and the love and the call that Jesus has on my life. That goes for all of you guys too. Nowadays, we live in a time where the devil's been really good getting his message out and trying to cloud our message. But people have to repent. Repentance is not a swear word. Repentance is not something that we should be ashamed of or afraid to use and go, well, you just have to kind of like just say this prayer and then Jesus will bless you and your life will get better. What? I don't find that anywhere in the Bible at all. All of us come in the same exact way. All of us have this revelation from God when His love touches us. That's the first thing. Before you hear any kind of a gospel message, you understand what it's saying, understand anything about resurrection or the cross or the pain, there's something about the revelation that God loves you and He's talking to you. And as God loves you and as He's talking to you, He explains how you can be forgiven by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And He will forgive you of every sin you've ever made. You can have a fresh start. You can have a living, breathing relationship with a loving God that has a call on your life and has a future all set out for you. Wow. All you have to do is realize there's not room for two gods. There can only be one. So I can't be Lord of me anymore, which the whole time I was Lord of me, I botched it. I blew it. Maybe you guys are really good when you're in charge of your lives, but I screwed it up when I was in charge. So I turn from repentance is doing a 180. I'm in charge doing everything I like for me to make me as happy as I possibly can all the time, as easy as I can. Didn't work ever. Hate it. Oh, what's this? God, you love me? You want to live life with me? Oh, you're over here? Yeah, I'll turn from that. I don't ever want to go back to that. Lord, how do I work this out? That's what salvation is. It's really that simple. We make it complicated because the devil comes in and goes, oh, yeah, Mike? Well, how come last week you did A, B, and C? How come last week you didn't do 1, 2, and 3? You know, for me, I have a little bit more accusations. The devil's accusing all of us all the time. That's not a secret. Trying to get us to shut down, get discouraged, and go hide in the corner. That's his goal. For me, he also gets to say, hey, Mike, remember what you preached on Sunday? Now you better live it. Oh, you told them that. Now you're still doing this. Oh, you said that, and you're thinking this. Like, you know what? Why don't you just shut up? I think the song says something like, get on out of here. Ain't no devil going to tread on me. Come on. He's choking on the blood that flowed down the tree. I love that picture. He thought he'd done away with Jesus on the cross. Not only did he not get away with him, but he actually fulfilled God's plan for us through the cross and Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So when it comes down to it, we're born again Christians. We believe he is who he said he is, and we believe he does what he said he can do. How's that for keeping it simple? Just keep it simple. Jesus is Jesus. Hallelujah. So then it's really easy to go back to Matthew 22, verse 37, 8, and 9. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So as Christians that have put our faith in Christ, we take him at his word. And we try to live out these two commandments because they'll cover everything else. It makes it really easy, very simple. Whether we're at home alone or whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether we're out shopping, whether we're out mowing our lawn, this is what drives us. The love of God. He just loves me with this amazing love that I'm learning more and more and more, ever increasing. I'm learning about this limitless love. And that affects me. So I want to love the people around me, even the ones that are kind of unlovable, that might frustrate us, might make us angry sometimes, might offend us sometimes. It's like, you know what? in my own strength, I can't do this. But God, just remember how much you love me and what I was like before you changed my everything. Lord, thank you for loving me. Please forgive me. Lord, now fill me with love so I can love these people that are so unlovable. I want to be like Oren, who's throwing lines in the water all the time and giving out this message of hope to people in a dark and hopeless world. Whew, they need what we have, folks. Born-again Christians. Number two, we're a New Testament church. We do church according to what Jesus told the disciples and how the disciples set up the churches in the New Testament. That's how we do church. That's how we try to do church. Now, there might be something just a little bit different over here or over there, but as much as we can, what did Jesus say we could expect from him? So then as a church, we're expecting that. And then what did he tell the disciples to do when he said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you get the promise of the Father, and now go and make disciples? That's what's driving our church. To this day, that's still what's driving our church. How did Paul and Peter go out in the book of Acts as they went all over the place setting up churches, putting eldership in place in these churches? How do those churches look and how did they function? I can tell you right here, right now, none of them had daycare. None of them had nursery. None of them had children's church. None of them had praise bands. Uh-oh. None of them had deacon boards. They had deacons, but not deacon boards, right? I don't see any assistant pastors in there. There's a whole bunch of stuff that when we look around in churches nowadays have nothing to do with what Jesus and the Holy Spirit set out to build the church in the New Testament. Ooh, it's quiet now, huh? Hallelujah. Well, good. We are kingdom-focused and kingdom-builders. We seek after the presence of the Holy Spirit, because only in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit can we change. Any real lasting change. Now, all of us have some self-discipline, and some of us, a few of you have great self-discipline. So if you decide to change a habit, I think some of you can change that habit. But most of us, especially addictions, most of us are going to need the power of the Holy Ghost to get set free of those addictions. And so we're always going to be centered on Jesus Christ and on the Father, but it's an equal trinity. We need the Holy Ghost too. We need the Holy Ghost encouraging us, filling us, transforming us, and helping us to walk in the will of God for our lives as we bring the name of Jesus out to this lost and dying world. So what does all this mean? Is it any of this going to get goofy and overboard, any of that? Absolutely not. We only do what we see in the Bible. That's what we try to practice. Maybe some of it we're still not doing. He said you'd raise the dead in the power of the Holy Ghost. Anybody here raised the dead yet? I've prayed for people that didn't die. One guy, they were actually unplugging him from life support, and he walked out of that hospital. He wasn't dead, though, when I prayed for him. So I haven't seen that yet. I'm still believing for it. I really want to see it. Don't you guys? I want to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. That's all the Holy Spirit's ministry. And if you've been around as long as me, you've seen a lot of imbalance in churches. So some churches really strive on the character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as in Galatians chapter 5. Really, 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 really strive to make sure everybody all the time is perfect in the character of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm all for it, as long as they have some grace and mercy in there, because we are all walking out our maturity. The other side of that is some churches, some ministries, go for the gifts of the Holy Spirit above all else. And so I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff. People throwing stuff, people slapping people, you name it. I've seen it under the name of ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's weird. If I see it in the Bible, then I can expect to see it in my life. If I don't see it in the Bible, I really am not interested. And so I want to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're trying to walk in. Because when we have those two, we will perfectly mirror what Jesus did on the earth. Jesus had the character, same exact character as the Holy Ghost, and he had the exact same power as the Holy Ghost, Jesus himself. So that's what we're after as a New Testament church. We're trying to express what we see in the book of Acts. So on Sundays, we have worship, word, and fellowship. Everybody knows that, right? There's another thing that we have on Sundays that you might think is it's not that important, but to me it's super important, and that's the meet and greet, which, again, that it's a little bit different. In the Old Testament, when you read all the letters that Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, a couple of the other ones wrote to the other New Testament church, it says meet or greet each other with a holy kiss, greet each other with a hug. There was something dynamic. I'm not ready to kiss people yet. I'm working on it. That's something I'm still trying to grow in maturity. I'll give you a big old hug, though, every day. I want us to be different than the world, because the world is becoming so antiseptic, and that's even before COVID. I'm not talking about gloves and masks and the hand sanitizer. I'm talking about we don't want to touch each other anymore. We don't want to really get too close to each other anymore. And if we're family, man, we hug each other. My wife has had to work on me for, man, well, even before we were married, so close to 35, 37 years now. But I grew up in a family where there was no touching. Literally, on my first day of school as a kindergartner, I got up on my dad's lap to kiss him goodnight, and my mom yelled at me and said, "You're a big boy now. Big boys don't hug." And that was it. In our family, we never hugged at the door. No hugs goodbye. No hugs hello. Keep your distance. Don't show your emotion. It was, I mean, you couldn't get more antiseptic if you boiled all of us. And then here comes Jeanette, the picture of affection and showing affection. And so I just want to share that at our family. I've lived both ways. I prefer affection. How about you guys? Yes. And so on Sunday morning, I mean, most of us, I'm scanning this crowd, I think most of us have been in the Lord for a few years or more. And so I would say most of us are strong Christians that know the Bible pretty good and kind of got a handle on Christianity, and we have a support group, which is the rest of us. If all hell breaks loose in our life today, we can make some phone calls and we know someone's going to show up, right? But on Sunday morning, as we're doing the three E's and we're trying to affect our neighborhood, I'm praying that God is going to bring in desperate people. I pray for two types of people for God to bring in. He's answering this already. Number one, healthy Christians that have a heart to work. That God takes them, plants them in here, and they just get to work right away, right with us. Let's go for this thing. Let's get God some glory. Amen. Awesome. The other ones I'm praying for are desperate people that literally can't find any hope out in that world. They feel unloved. They're on their last day. They're thinking about doing something horrible. God, would you please bring them into us? We'll do it. We'll rescue them. We'll give them your message of hope. We'll love them like you love us. And we'll watch you transform their life. The most desperate of desperate, Lord, bring them in here so we can love them. Amen? But those people, as I've seen in the past, those people are going to probably come in here late after we're all already sitting down. There's no more handshaking enough. They're going to come in late. They're going to kind of, if they can, they're going to endure the whole service because it's all different to them and their minds are going crazy because all the stuff that drove them in here. They're still thinking about all that junk. And then at the end, as we start to pray, they're going to leave before anybody can get to them. That's what I've seen a pattern over the years. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to get sneaky. We're going to get gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. There you go. And we're going to have a meet and greet where all of us are going around laughing and carrying on and talking, and it looks like chaos and crazy, and we're hugging each other, and it's almost like a little party. And any visitors that are in here, we can target. And as we're believing for God's divine appointments, I believe that whatever visitor comes in here and that's in really tough shape, that needs some help, needs some love, God's going to pick exactly the right one of us to go up to that person, to be able to talk a little bit more than just say, "Hi, how you doing?" which most of them do. But you might be just the right person for just the right person that comes in here on that one day. I've had people come in here that got ministered to God that said, "I was thinking about suicide, and so I decided just to come in here today, and God ministered to me." God saved their life because of coming into this ordinary church with ordinary people that have been saved by Jesus Christ. So that's what I think of on Sunday morning. So we absolutely got worship, word, fellowship, and we got that meet and greet. And that's part of what that's for. to target visitors that might be on their very last leg. So, let's see, where am I at in this? It gives us all a chance to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's what all the Sunday morning is. So then we've got us as born-again Christians. We already talked about that. We've got us as New Testament church. We're going to take that power pyramid, knock it over, and we're sitting at a table. All of us equal with different roles. Last thing is we're a church family that's in a family of churches. And so if you're new here, you're probably thinking, what in the world is that stuff? So what that means is we're part of a family of church. Think of your family. So the family I grew up in, we had five kids. We all lived in one home. A couple blocks away was my mom's brother and his family. They had four kids. So they were a family. We were a family. There was another family up in Elk Rapids, Michigan. There was another family down in Elkhart, Indiana. And so they were individual families. But maybe once or twice a year, all of us come together for a family reunion. So you got individual families in that. I never went to it, but I heard tell that my dad's side would have nationwide family reunions going back like three or four generations where people, I mean, all the way up to your grandfather, that whole clan would come in, and this whole grandfather's clan would come in, and it'd just be this crazy old thing. I never seen anything like that. But our churches do stuff like that. So we're a church family. Down in Sturgis at Christian Fellowship Center, that's another church family. Up in Hart, Michigan, there's another church family. There's a couple in Indiana. There's, I think, one in Indiana, Ohio, and I think one in Kentucky. And so that would be, Kentucky's a stretch, but that would be the Great Lakes region. The idea being with the Great Lakes, the states that touch the Great Lakes make a family of family churches. And so primarily with us, that's expressed through Glenn Middleton, Pastor Glenn Middleton down in Sturgis, who is also my personal pastor. If you've been here more than probably a year, you know Glenn. If you've been here for 5 or 10 years, you know Glenn well. So he's my pastor. Glenn and Artis, his wife, come up here before COVID, 3 or 4 times a year. Since COVID, not so much. But again, that's one of the things we're going to be working on. The assistant pastor in Sturgis is Travis Kuhlman, which if you've been here more than 6 months, you know him well because he used to be associate pastor here, or the other elder is how I'd rather refer to him. Travis and Julie Kuhlman were the other elder couple here in this church for many, many years, and God called them down to Sturgis. And so it's not just like a title thing, because sometimes in denominations, people that are off-site have a title and have oversight and authority, but no relationship. And so ours comes through relationship first, and then they also have authority over me. Glenn would even have authority over this church. He's one of the elders in this church, just not residing here is how that would look. Another guy that is really part of this church that we see probably a couple times a year is Dave Lemmer. He's a pastor of pastors. He pastored a church for, I think he said, about 30 years, and then he retired from that, and now he goes around encouraging pastors, mostly around Wyoming and Montana, out west in that area, but he comes around here a couple times a year, him and his wife, Beth. Again, in denominations, you'll have a guy that's based in Boston or Chicago or something, which you may talk to on the phone sometimes. And if things are really, really horrible, then they might come in. Whereas this, relationally, all these guys that I serve with in other areas that have their own other family of churches, them and their wife have stayed at my house numerous times. They stayed at many of your houses numerous times. When we have a guest speaker come in, it's someone that we relate to in the churches, and they come in for a few days. They may only preach on Sunday and be here from Wednesday till Tuesday, as they go and minister to people during the week using their giftings to build us up personally. Because church, this hour and a half out of the whole week, that hour and a half isn't much of a whole week when you think of us as Christians living our lives out for God. And so that is one of the ways that we do it. So we've got the Great Lakes region, which is primary states that touch the Great Lakes. And then we have the coast-to-coast ministries. Again, if you're new here and some of this is new to you, you can look all this up on the website, and you can get the Coast to Coast Ministries website, and you can also get Salt and Light Ministries website. So what's the difference? Coast to Coast Ministries is coast to coast. It's all the churches that we relate to in America from coast to coast. Salt and Light Ministries are the family of churches that we relate to worldwide. And so, again, if I'm trying to cover a lot of bases and give you a little bit of background. Right now, as life goes by here, I and Andy, who's also deacon on duty this morning, we are the local elders in a local church. According to Acts, the local elders carry all the authority in a local church. And in relationship, we also have Glenn and Travis, Dave Lemmer and Dave Richards that also would come in and give us direction. They don't carry authority here. Me and Andy carry all the authority here as local elders. That's what the Bible teaches. However, if those guys come in here and tell me something, you better believe it. I'm going to take it super, super serious. Not only for this place, but also for me and my personal walk in my life. We've had all of them come in, give me and Jeanette personal advice, which I can't ever think of a time where we said, no, we ain't going to do that. We will do it even when it's difficult, and we've seen God do amazing things through it. I can talk to you guys. Ask me those stories some other time, not on a Sunday morning. I'd love to share them with you. So then Salt and Light Ministries, which is global, and this might be more information than you want on a Sunday morning, but I just want to give us all some kind of an operating level, so to speak, so that going forward in this new season, as God's like bringing us back to life and filling us back up with power, we're all on the same page what to expect and how we think around here. So Salt and Light Ministries is global. It's on just about every continent on earth, most nations on earth. I've actually traveled to several of the nations with Dave, Doug, another Dave, with many of them, gone to Zimbabwe and Kenya, Nigeria, Mexico, Canada, England, a lot of different places with them. And they come and minister here, too, with different gifts, as you see in Ephesians 4. And they also have input here. And again, there's a difference between input and authority. All authority is in the local elders. That's what Salt and Light Ministries believes. That's what Coast to Coast Ministries believes. Great Lake region believes, and that's what we believe. And so you'll never have someone that doesn't know us, doesn't know our situation, come in here and say, well, this is what you guys need to do. We're going to change this. We're going to start doing that. And it's da-da-da-da-da, razzmatazz, and then they leave, and we're all going, wait, what? You don't even know us. It's like, no, everything's through relationships. So I'm under authority. Me and Andy will subject ourselves to the input of these teams as they come in. It's still totally up to me and Andy whether we say, you know what, it's a good idea, we're going to do it, or not so much, we'll keep praying, maybe never. It's totally up to us to do that thing. Pastors Glenn Middleton, Dave Lemmer, Doug Craigbaum, and Dave Richards, and Travis Kuhman, all will be coming in here, God willing, plus or minus COVID and this strain and that strain, whatever. God willing, though, you're going to see all these men and their wives coming in here to input into us, to train us up, to disciple us up, so that we can do the work of the ministry. Another big difference from some denominational thinking versus family thinking is sometimes in some of the denominations, the visiting gift comes in, the visiting gift does all of it, the crowd spectates, and then goes home or goes out to lunch. The visiting gift, the visiting minister goes to the next place, does everything, they spectate, goes on. We're not raising up a bunch of spectators. That's not what this is. If this is a football game, we're not trying to fill the stands. We're trying to fill the field. We want a bunch of players, not a bunch of spectators. And so we bring in equipping gifts so that we, you and me, can do the work of the ministry. All right? Awesome. Amen. It's getting loud in here now. Must be good. So, another thing I already said, but I think it's worth reiterating because it's so rare and it's so valuable. All of these leaders that I've talked about, I've stayed in their houses and they've stayed in my house. Because if you've been a Christian for more than a month, you know how easy it is to come through those doors, put on a fake church smile. Everybody asks you, how you doing? You say, I'm doing good. I'm having a great day. And then you walk out that door, and you're ticked off, and you're frustrated, and you go home, you're screaming at your wife, and you're kicking the dog, and These guys live with me. They come right in. Me and one of the guys might come into church, talk stuff, or go pray and stuff. The wife stand with my wife. So, Jeanette, how's it really going? How's things really going? How's things at home? Are you good? Is Mike keeping you informed of stuff? Or you feel like you're just getting shocked from one shock therapy to the next? It's like it's all open through relationship. And I think that that's super valuable. And so I want to make sure you guys know that my life is open to these people that come in. And these guys are open to you. Pastor Glenn has information in the office. If you want to call him, you can call him today. I'm uncomfortable with Pastor Mike doing this, or I thought Pastor Mike did the awesome job here. Just want to let you know. By the way, what are you up to? What can I be praying for you, Pastor Glenn? All these guys, when they come in, it's total open door. There's not the big high muckety mucks and then all the rest of us that sit in pews. We're all one big family with different roles. So God sent Jesus to earth to redeem us for family. He did not send Jesus to earth to make fancy churches, fancy denominations, none of that stuff. He said, go get me a family. He was the first of many redeemed, right? We don't call each other coworkers. We call each other brother and sister because it's family. He calls us sons and daughters because it's family. And sometimes we can get all balled up because we think denominational, we think church. We start thinking some of our worldly ways, and at work this is how we do it, and how I was raised this is how we. Hold on a second. God wants a family. He wants sons and daughters. He says, come and fill up my house. I want my dinner table full, and I want my house full with sons and daughters. It's all relational. So our core values will never change. I'm going to start wrapping this thing up. Gone a little bit long. Thank you for paying such close attention, and I appreciate nobody falling asleep on me. Our core values will never change. The gospel will never change. How we live those values in an ever-changing world might change. It might look a little different for us to express our core values. And it might look a little different how we communicate the unchanging gospel. The message never changes, the method might. That makes sense. How they did it in the 50s isn't going to work now, that's for sure. How we did it 10 years ago might be different than how God wants to do it this next year. God's been so good to us for so long, we'll always be grateful. In 5 weeks from right now, we're celebrating 10-year anniversary in this building. Amen. 10 years. Wow. That's amazing. And I'm going to close with a story out of Ezra. But if you've been here for those whole 10 years, you know these 10 years have looked a lot like this. Amen. Thank you. But God's always been faithful to us. There's never been a day that God hasn't been faithful to us. We've seen some great things and we've seen some painful things. Let's just be honest. We don't have to cover up anything. Some of it's been awesome, amazing, tremendous. And some of it's been, ow. That's all I can say. That's how I describe it, ow. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. We're not just going to huddle up and go, oh, yeah, remember 2 years ago? And then, oh, you remember when I, hey, where'd those one people? Today is the day of salvation. Jesus is on the throne today. God, what do you want for us today? This is always a new day if we have faith to embrace what God's doing. If we want to lay hold of what he's doing in our life. Today is the day of salvation. All things are possible for those who believe. That's us. All things are possible. It's amazing. God is so awesome. Each one of us has a calling and an anointing from God. Each one of us. Each one of us. So when these people come in on their last leg, each one of us can go up there and go, wow, you know what? You really look like you have a lot on your mind. Can I just say a 30-second prayer for you? Would that be okay if I just did that? Is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? No? Okay, that's fine. We just pray. It's as simple as that. Wow, you really look like you might have had a tough week. Can I just pray for you? And then just pray something good about God over them. It's as simple as that. The problem is, the longer that we're in the Lord, both in church and out of church, because not all the hard stuff that happens to us as Christians happens in church. Sometimes the hard stuff that happens to us as Christians happens in our homes, happens in our families. Stuff that we're praying for and believing for blows up. And so then when there's something else in our family, sometimes our reaction is, well, I'm not even going to bother praying because all of that happened. So God, you just do whatever you're going to do, and I'm going to try to hang in there until I go to heaven. Right? I probably won't get any amens. But if we want to be honest with ourselves and each other, that's what all of us have gone through. If you've been saved for very many years, things have not worked out the way you prayed for in your family or at church somewhere along the line. But God's always faithful, and all the good stuff he's done for us and to us and in us far outweighs the speed bumps. I mean, some of them were flat out head-on collisions. They weren't speed bumps, to be honest. But today's the day of salvation. And we always have to make the same decision that Jesus did, that the disciples, the apostles, people in the Old Testament, if you want to walk with God, you've got to forget the past. If you want to see great things in your life, you got to let go of the past. You have to make a choice to say, God, I believe you. I believe you're good. I believe you love me, and I believe you want to do this for me. Or you make the choice to say, God, I really don't trust you 100% anymore because of that thing that happened at church, that thing that happened at home. And this is scriptural. Turn with me now, and this is where we're going to close. Ezra chapter 3. Ezra is one of those books in the Old Testament that I think most of us might be a little familiar with it, but probably very few of us are very familiar with it and what's going on and the whole gist, the whole idea of this book. Ezra chapter 3. You got 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, and there comes Ezra. So Ezra's a book about the people of God coming together and looking for restoration for God, looking for the next big step from God. And how do we build something that's going to last this time, God? How do we do it? What do you want us to do? So the book of Ezra, they start doing the work and trying to rebuild this temple. And then it gets stopped. And then they try again and it gets stopped. And people come against them and the government's against them and all this stuff. And so let's start at... So finally, they start building this thing. Let's start at verse 8. Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. Now, in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, bear with me as I pronounce some of these names. I should have Dennis come up here because he says he can speak some Hebrew. He could probably help me out on this. So, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, and the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and his brothers, Kadmiel with his sons and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Just hold on just a second. So there's been ups and downs, and finally it's like, we're doing this thing, and they're finally building this thing, and they get the foundation laid down, and it's like, let's celebrate. And so everybody's dressed in the right dress. They all got their instruments and stuff. And they're just going to cut loose. Say, hey, we're finally, I know we're waffling around for a while. It was a little bit of ups and downs for a while. But God's doing something new today. So verse 11. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house was laid. Verse 12, but many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. That's an amazing story, because they all saw the same thing. But because of their past, some of them couldn't lay hold of what was right before them. Here's a brand new foundation. And by the way, it's not like this is a finished work. The whole house is here. It's everything that it's ever going to be. Nobody thought that. All this was the beginning of a new work. Yep. Amen. Amen. And so for the beginning of this work, the foundation was laid, and some of these guys were so stuck in the past, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that they cried. Because when they looked at this new thing starting, to them, all it meant was pain. This won't last either. This isn't going to work out either. Someone's going to hurt me with this also. But half of them, which didn't know none of that mess, like new people that are coming to our church right now, people that have been here for like 6 months, they don't know none of that mess. All they know is they come in here, we're a family that loves each other, the paid off church. We don't hunt down money like some churches have to. We're debt free. There's great things going on right now. God's laying a foundation, bringing in new workers. These people are like, oh, heck yeah, I can do something here. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who else? Is somebody busy doing this? Because I can go help them. Nobody's doing it. Just get out of the way. I'll do it. That's what some of the new people are saying right now. How about us? How about you that are like me, that have been here for 10 years? What you thinking? Oh, yeah, new people are coming in. How long till they leave? I saw a visitor today. They'll never be back. People tell me this stuff to my face on Sunday. You see my face get red? My blood pressure goes up? Because I hear stuff like that. It's like, hold on, I'm looking at a brand new foundation. God's getting ready to do something in this. Right here, right now, today. Today's the day of salvation. Sheesh, it just has to be 10 years. Well, that's kind of cool, God. 10 years of your faithfulness, proof that you never gave up on us. And now you're going to do a new thing. Hallelujah, I'm all in, God. How can I help? I just want to be part of it. But all of us have to decide which group we want to be. The one group that remembered awesome things in the past that somehow didn't last, or this new beginning that God's doing that you can only see like the foundation right now. There's no walls, there's no doors, there's no windows, there sure ain't no roof, but there's a foundation. There's a foundation. Everybody just look around for a second right now. I know it's going to be a little uncomfortable. We really don't know these people. Hold on a second. This is our church family. Let's look around, smile at each other. Wave if you feel like it. It gives us a chance to understand the lay of the land. Really, honestly. We are the foundation. Us. This group right here. We're the foundation. I believe God Almighty is going to build upon us as He brings other believers in who have a heart to work. I'm praying for two groups. People want to come in and work. They may have issues like us, but their lives are pretty settled. They may be working in maturity, but hand them a hammer. Give them a song, get out of the way. Then the other people are going to come in here. I'm praying for people that are so blowed up. We're their last hope. They're on their last leg, on their last day, unless God does something. Praying for them too, man. I want to see both groups come in. So I would say the people that have a heart to work and the not yet believers are going to come in here. And I'm going to pray right now, asking all of us to make a decision based on what God stirred in your heart today. Because I believe as I was going through these things, especially as I was talking about Ezra and we read the word out of Ezra and the thing going on there that's very similar to what's going on here, I think God spoke to all of us, that God stirred something in all of us about what He wants from us individually. That then comes together corporately. So I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to pray that we respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction and inspiration. Because if you felt either one of those, that wasn't me. I was up here talking. If you felt convicted or you felt inspired, that's the Holy Ghost saying, come on. God's got something for your life. He ain't done. He ain't done. We got a foundation He wants to build something beautiful on. So if you heard either one of those things, if you sensed either one of those things, I want you to respond. Will you give God your past, the good, the bad, and the ugly, And will you ask him to use you now and in the future? If so, I'm just going to close my eyes before I even say this. If so, would you please join with me just by bowing your head? As you bow your head, and then I'm going to pray for us. As you bow your head, I believe that it's an act of submission to God and an act of obedience to God that you recognized he touched your heart with conviction and or inspiration, and you want to respond in obedience. So, Heavenly Father, I just lift this up to you right now. My head's bowed. There's other heads that are in here bowed. Father, on purpose, I don't want to see. I'm not looking. But you see us, and you see our hearts. You see what's in our hearts. You see the things that hold us back that we struggle with. And you also see the potential that we have that you put in us. Father, I pray for your sons and your daughters in this family that have their heads bowed, that you would continue to convict them and inspire them to walk in your fullness for their lives. Lord, every single son and daughter in this house have been blessed by you with salvation. And with salvation comes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of Holy Spirit. So I pray, starting today, this 8th day of August, 2021, that your sons and daughters would walk in the fullness of all you have for them. Father, would you speak to each one of us now in what you want us to do in this place, and I don't mean just inside these four walls, but especially outside these four walls, so that we can live our motto, in the neighborhood, for the neighborhood, and make eternal differences in people's lives. Would you please do that for all of us now, Lord? I believe we ain't seen nothing yet. Our best days are in front of us. And Lord, would you please build us together as this family, a loving, caring, generous family that literally reflects your love to a dying and hopeless world. I bless your flock, Lord. They're precious. They've been bought with the blood of Jesus. Every single one's precious to you. Would you please pour out your spirit on them, Lord? Fill them, refresh them, renew them, and fill them with hope for this day, the day of salvation. In Jesus Christ's mighty name I pray, amen. Well, praise God. I know that I covered a lot of ground today, and thank you for paying such close attention and following along with me. If you have any questions, especially new people, if some of this is new to you and you have other questions, please give me a call, shoot me a text, stop me before you leave. I'd love to talk to you. I think questions are an opportunity for us to see God take us closer in him. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. I hope to see everybody Wednesday night at 6:30.